you central in all that we do and all who we are. And may we continue to be grooving and shaking with the Holy Spirit as we continue in this service today. And as we think about the events in Charleston this past week, may we offer up a moment of silence in memory of those who've lost their lives, the families, and those who are grieving at Emmanuel AME. May we continue to be with you and see you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it is so good to be back with y'all again. I am so excited. You know, it took me a long time to drive across the bridge, but, you know, it is what it is. I want to bring you greetings from King of Peace MCC, where the Reverend Elder Dr. Candace is serving as the senior pastor. We had a lovely installation there, and we know that y'all were with us in spirit, if not in body. And so I bring you greetings from her and the church, and I also bring you greetings again from the network of West Florida that you are a part of. And we're just so excited to be with you and to pray with you during this time. So I want to tell you that when I was a little kid, as you know, I grew up in the South. I know that was very hard to hear for many people, but you know, if you don't realize that I did grow up in the South. And when I was a kid, we had this park. We had this water park called Lake Lanier. Has anyone ever familiar with Lake Lanier? It's on the outskirts of Atlanta. Yes, praise the Lord. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So when I was a kid, we had this water park, and at this water park was this it wasn't a ride necessarily, but it was this big pool of water, okay? And in this pool of water, people would just jump in and just, you know, kind of ride the waves and whatnot. And all of a sudden, there would be this loud noise. I can't, just this loud, like a truck. It was just kind of this loud noise. And it would just, and next thing you know, the waves would start gradually increasing and intensifying and getting louder and deeper and heavier and bigger and just more intense until all of a sudden you were just so overwhelmed by the waves that if you didn't feel like you could navigate those waves, then you would get back in the shallow end. Well, eventually the waves would stop and everyone, mothers, would breathe a sigh of relief and some of the boys like myself were like, oh man, it's over. And it would just kind of remain calm, and then it would start over again after about 10 minutes or so. But I just loved those waves because it was just such an interesting, I just loved being there. It was just unexpected. But I have to tell you, it was somewhat chaotic. It was somewhat chaotic because I just could not, there were times that those waves would just come crashing up against you and you just would have no clue where these waves are coming from. So we had to learn how to navigate the waves. Case in point. Navigate the waves. That's my visual aid for today. Thank you very much. I tried out for Vanna's job and she said no. So this morning, what do we see in our text? We see Jesus challenging his disciples to navigate the wave. And when I was preparing for this text this morning, one of the authors that I was reading reminded us that this is the beginning of a set of texts. So in the Gospel of Mark, which many scholars believe was written first, then it's a collection of texts that contains four extraordinary deeds, so that the reader begins to get a sense of what it means that the dominion of God has come near in the embodiment of Jesus. Okay? So this astounding event has Jesus take the initiative and summons his disciples. Did you notice that? The disciples didn't ask him to get on the boat. Jesus asked the disciples to get on the boat. And of course, like the disciples, yeah, we'll go, no problem. What can happen? Because these disciples, most of them were fishermen, right? So they knew the water, they knew the waves, they knew what was going on. But let's remind ourselves that the journey into this water was Jesus' idea. And let's be clear, these boats aren't on the Norwegian cruise line. These boats were kind of hollowed out, without luxury, you know, without the full-scale dining, without a sail, without a ship, without dancers, you know, without all this stuff. I mean, it just was a hollowed-out little piece of wood. They were open-air boats and were easy to capsize in storms. They were easy to turn over. So what do we see in our text? Well, the weather changes, obviously. The weather changes. Because obviously Jesus loves to prove a point. So the weather was changing. The sea was getting rough. The waves were getting higher. The wind was tossing the boat to and fro. And the disciples weren't necessarily twiddling their thumbs saying, oh, gee, this is great. We should do this more often. No, they were saying, what's going on here? Something is not right. We don't like where we are. Instead, they were wondering what was going to happen because they felt that the boat was going to capsize and turn over. Now, to put some context to this, we must remember that in the Hebrew Bible, the sea was commonly symbolized as chaos. That it was chaos resided in this particular sea or in big bodies of water. It was an unknown entity to a lot of our people in the Hebrew Bible. If you think back to some of our more popular Bible stories, the Moses story, where he splits the Red Sea, that was a sign that God was able to rebuke the sea and retain control of the water. That's just one example. The disciples who knew the Hebrew Bible, they knew the symbolism behind it. They knew the symbolism, and it was not completely lost on them. But the point remains is they were in this topsy-turvy sea, and they could not navigate it and was unsure as how to proceed with this water that they were in the midst of. And then, of course, they got Jesus over there. What was he doing? Snoring away. He was sleeping. Jesus was asleep on the boat without a care in the world. Now, what was the disciples' reaction? Oh, gee, there's Jesus. He's sleeping. Let him sleep. Let him sleep. Shh. He's all right. Shh. He's had a hard day. Let him rest. The disciples weren't necessarily that kind to him. Jesus, wake up! What's going on? We're going to drown here. Do you not care that we're going to perish? Do you not care that this ship is about to capsize and turn over? Why did you bring us out here in the first place? You knew this was going to happen. Have you ever had trips like that? Where you go on these trips with your significant other or your loved one, and you're thinking, oh boy, this is going to be fun. And then everything that could go wrong ends up going wrong. You end up getting a sunburn, or you end up something happening to your car, or something just goes horribly awry that you had not planned on. Well, the disciples were probably in that similar manner, saying things like, I can't believe you brought us out here. We could have stayed home for this. What has gotten into you? But let me tell you something about that man from Galilee. That man had incredible trust. The trust that he had in God brought remarkable peace even in the face of the storm. And it contrasts with the panic of the disciples at the chaos of the sea, because it was Jesus who quietly calmed that sea. Jesus had trust, and all he had to do was say, "Quiet, be still." And what happened? The sea went calm. As you know, this story relates to the 21st century. How many times have we navigated or ridden waves that were chaotic and sometimes overwhelming? Have we done that before? Have we experienced those times in our lives where the waves just seem so cumbersome and so overwhelming? Have we? I assume we have. How many times have we looked at the world in despair, shrugged our shoulders, isolated ourselves in the corner of the room, and wondered how in the world are we going to get out of this and through this? How many times have we done that? How many times in our church have we ended up wringing our hands, wondering, what are we going to do? How are we going to be able to navigate this as a community? Can we get through this? Can we get through this? Can we do this? We get mired in concern and confusion when we get overwhelmed by the cacophony of chaos, where we just simply ask ourselves, are we ever going to get out of this mess? But I know a man. I know a man from Galilee who can handle it. I know a man who not only shares our predicament amidst the storms of the life. Jesus knows, like on RuPaul's Drag Race, the struggle is real. The struggle is real. And Jesus knows this. Jesus knows that our struggle is real. It's real every day we wake up in the morning. We are like the disciples. We bear witness to the power of Jesus where we can truly see Jesus doing something about these storms that are in our life because Jesus has walked in our shoes. Jesus knows our shoes. Jesus knows what is going on in our life. I love me some Jesus. It is Jesus who can truly see us through these storms. We forget that it is Jesus who grieves with us. Jesus can console us in our time of need, and it is Jesus who can help us make a way out of no way. He knows that our struggle is real. As some of you probably know, I grew up Southern Baptist with a splash of Pentecostalism. Just a splash. And I fully believe that there is a song that we sang that at the end of the day, the God in the good times is still God in the bad times. And that God is still with us because we have Jesus embodying God. We just put our hand in God's hand that we see through Christ to share the storms of life with us. And the key is God rides the waves of life with us. God is present in this place. God will be with you. God is with you. No past, God will still be with you wherever you are. So this morning, I encourage you, when chaos seems to envelop your life, when chaos seems to envelop the life of the church, look to Jesus. Trust Jesus. Trust God. Trust yourself. And trust that something will be done about the storms. And when times get difficult, all you have to do is think about this. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Oh, put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself, and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Can we speed that up? Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself, and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Y'all do it again. Let's do it again. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Oh, put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself, and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Take a look at yourself, and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Hallelujah. Thank you. Blessings and amen.